Good to be here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Are you there? Say amen. All right. That was the delay tactic because I ain't there yet. Hang on. All right. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is Israel's mistakes. Think of Israel as the older brother or the older sister. The older brother, the older sister will make all the mistakes, and the younger siblings. Now, Callie, you get a hold of this. All right. You watch all the mistakes that JR makes and don't make them. You're going to see the trouble that he gets into, the things he does. You're going to see him get in trouble for it, and you'll say, man, I don't want to do that. Amen? So what will happen is Callie will invent all new things to get in trouble with. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He's talking about Israel in the Old Testament. He's talking about their journey into the Promised Land. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud. That's kind of where we left off last week. And in the sea, they were baptized. That's a picture of baptism. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. We're going to kind of walk in that direction here in the next week, so on. And then verse 4, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And what he's talking about is that story where the Israel, they were murmuring. They had no water. They said, Moses, God led us out here to die. And so Moses went to God and said, God, they need water. God said, Moses, take your rod, strike that rock. He struck that rock. Water flowed out of a rock. God always does things that we would never think that's how it should be done. Amen? That's why God said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So they all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So what he's telling you, he's setting up, he said, you are dealing with your typical church member. Your typical person who goes to church, they've been baptized, they sit during a sermon, they read a little bit of Bible. The question is, are they going to go to heaven? Question is, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Are you going to make it into that promised land? And he said, verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that, number one, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 7, number 2, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink. Rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. That reminds me, there was an article that came out in, I think it was Christianity Today. I didn't read all of the article. I just kind of scanned the headline a little bit, and I looked at it and shook my head. I'm telling you, the churches all over this nation are taking a softer and softer stand on things that the Bible says plainly are wrong. Any kind of union outside of the marital bond, when I say marriage, there's only one kind of marriage in the Bible, man and woman. Anything outside of that is wrong and it's wicked. This is what the Bible says. This is our religious book telling us this. This is what we believe. This is what we stand for. And churches all over this country now are backpedaling on this issue. They're accepting things as being okay as long as people are committed or as long as they love one another or whatever kind of nonsense they add to it. It's almost like, well, the Bible, yes, said that, but that was for them people back then. This is a new time and we've got new rules. And what they're doing is they're creating a new God. Not the same God that's in this Bible. Let me hear you say amen. Okay? And the test is going on right now. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day. Now you look at this. In one day, God killed 23,000 Israelites of His own people that He brought out of the Promised Land. He killed 23,000 of them for what? Fornication. God's pretty serious about this issue, is He not? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, were destroyed as serpents. That's in the book of Numbers. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, were destroyed as the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We were dealing with the issue of being baptized in the cloud. Someone's take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 9, if you would. Genesis chapter 9. Beautiful, beautiful teaching that God has about clouds. I started that last week about the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud in Exodus 16. That there was the glory of the Lord there in the cloud. Every time God shows up, He's in a cloud. When Jesus comes back, He's going to come in a cloud. And so in Genesis chapter 9, we have that beautiful, beautiful picture. It's a prophecy of Christ. It is a picture of Christ from the Old Testament that we see fulfilled in the New Testament. And so Genesis chapter 9 is right after the flood. God has washed clean the surface of the earth. He's cleansed all of the wickedness off the earth. Now He's going to take Noah and his family. He's going to give them a brand new start. That's Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 9, He's going to tell them, be fruitful and multiply. And He's going to leave man with some hope. He's going to leave man with a promise. And so in Genesis chapter 9, He said in verse 9, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. When God makes a promise, He's going to keep His promise. Somebody say amen. And we all know what this is about. Ask yourself the question, has God flooded the entire earth ever since the original flood? No. He's kept His word. He's kept His promise. God is faithful, even when man is not. This is one of those promises that, as far as God is concerned, is unconditional. Now, there are unconditional promises in the Bible, but there are conditional promises as well. You've got to filter through. But God makes no condition upon this. He just says, this is how it's going to be. Watch how faithful I am. And so He said in verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generation. He said, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Verse 16, I love this. And the bow shall be in the cloud. We read last week in Ezekiel chapter 1, when Ezekiel gets to see the throne of God, he sees the four living creatures, those four cherubs, those four beasts, holding up the platform or the firmament. And here is the throne set on top of that. And he says he sees the glory of the Lord on that throne. And he said it looks like a bow in the cloud in the day of rain. That is the likeness of the glory of the Lord that he saw. And what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a connection here. Whenever it comes up, a big thunderstorm, and those clouds pass by, and that sun comes out right after that, run outside and start looking for that thing. I promise you, you'll see it. I get tickled when I see a double one. Amen? You know what that tells me? He's coming. He's already come once. He's coming again. God swore it. Amen? God made promises. He's going to keep those promises. Somebody say amen. But He said, I set my bow in the cloud, and the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Now, in Isaiah chapter 44, look at this. You might want to turn your Bible there and take a look at it. But here's the idea now that God is setting forth. He's teaching us things to look for. We sang a song tonight. What I can't remember what we sang. What we sang? Help me out here. I know it had something to do with knowing who Jesus was. Yeah, I shall know Him, I shall know Him. How will we know Jesus? The Bible says when He comes, He's coming in the cloud. God says, when, not if. When I bring a cloud over the land, and He's going to. You might as well count it in your mind that not every day that you live is going to be A-OK, greatest day in the world. Boy, it just keeps getting better and better, and I can't hardly stand myself. Well, truth is, it is. Nobody around you can stand you either. Amen. God will bring you down just like teardrops, just like rain coming down out of the clouds. God knows how to bring us down, make us humble again. Amen. Bring us down to where we have some benefit, where we remember where we used to be. God will do that again. It's called the cycles. I might get into that a little bit tonight. But God is going to bring a cloud over, and you watch what God does. When God brings a cloud over, number one, those showers coming down are for a reason. Rain is earth's natural cleansing agent. How many of y'all know that? Gets all dirty and dusty outside, what happens? God sends rain. Here's something I'd learned this years ago. Don't remember where I learned it. But in an electrical storm, the negatively charged ions that are floating around in the air because of the electrical storm, because of the lightning, are drawn and attached to positively charged dust particles in the air. And when a good electrical storm blows over, it has attached all of that dirt and nasty filth that's in the air, and it comes down with the... That's why when a storm comes over, it just seems like the air is cleaner than it has been all day. How many of y'all notice that? It's God's cleansing agent. Now you take this to heart. Here's something now that God is saying, I tried to teach Israel. These verses that we've been looking at were all in the Old Testament. This is something I tried to teach my people. They would never learn it. They kept turning from me and following after Baal. And He's telling you, don't fall after their example. When God brings a cloud overhead in your life, trust Him. It's for a reason. How many of y'all know that? Say amen. And yet, the next time the cloud comes over, you know what the cloud does, don't you? It kind of separates us from the light. We don't see things very well. God has a purpose for that. But what God is doing is He's bringing something your way, and just about everything good that God does in my life is usually done the hardest way possible. Okay? It's like when I was little and didn't take a bath right, then my mom would come in and take over. And buddy, it was rough. Hard. Amen? Scrape blood coming out. Trying to get me clean. That's God. He's bringing a cloud over your life. Look at that verse up on the screen. Isaiah 44:22. He said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Look at that. See, here's what happens. In fact, take that. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're giving Heather and some other people a crash course on Bible Christianity. How it really works. Not the way the TV guys say it works, but the way this life really works. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Since we're dealing with rain and clouds and so on. Solomon, I was able to share this at Sherry's mom's funeral. And something that I love about the older generation. You know, the Bible says, seek ye out the old paths. What I found out is the best people in the world to tell you where the old paths are the old people. They remember, Jimmy, you remember down in Pocahontas where all the old bridges and all the old roadways were, don't you? They're not there anymore. But you can, yeah, you can still go down there, and the old guys can tell you, see that down here? There used to be a road down here. My dad did this. That piece of property that I sold you guys, on that one side, there's a row of cedars going down that way. And when I first bought it, I took my dad over there to show it to him. And he took one look at that, and he said, there used to be an old road there. I said, what do you mean? He said, see those cedars? They're all in a straight line down there. I'd never noticed that before. And I went, well, they are. He said, in the old days, that used to designate an old roadway or an old path or an old property line of some kind, but that was there. Nature does not plant anything in a straight line. Man does. Man does it deliberately. And what my dad had learned from his dad was how to find the old paths. And Dad told me that, and God was whispering, and, you know, talking to me, seek ye out the old paths. And so I preached Sherry's mom's funeral, and I said, what we learned from them is the way the things used to be done in the old days. These old people impart to us, a new generation, that wisdom that they've learned throughout their years. It's our responsibility to pass that on to another generation. Somebody say amen. We're not going to be around forever. And if the Lord tarries His coming and doesn't end this thing quick, then let's make sure that we are doing everything we can to impart what we have down to the next generation. Look at Ecclesiastes. Look at verse 4, chapter 1. One generation passeth away and another generation cometh. See how true that is? The earth abideth forever. God told Israel in Deuteronomy 6, He said, these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them to your children. Pass the word down. Pass the wisdom down. Verse 5, the sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. Goes in a big circle, doesn't it? Goes around the earth in a big circle. Verse 6, the wind goes toward the south, it turneth about unto the north, and it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Verse 7, here's the wisdom right here. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. This is, now, understand this. This is written 3,000 years ago by a man who does not know modern meteorology. He's never seen a weather forecast. Okay? He's not seen a satellite view of the earth. He's not seen anything like that. God is giving Solomon wisdom that was 3,000 years ahead of his time. Because no one could see the water coming up out of the ocean, going up into the atmosphere. Nobody could see that. We can't see it now. But we know that's how it works. He said, the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. So here, what happens, we got a little shower today. What happens is, the Mississippi River and all the rivers in this area, creeks and everything, run into the Mississippi over here. And it runs down into the Gulf of Mexico. And the Gulf of Mexico is south, is down toward the equator. And that's all warm air and warm water. And that sun and that wind pick that water, that same water, back up. Now watch this. This is your life. When God saved you, He pulled you out of the deepest place possible. It's like you were Jonah in the belly of hell. And what God did, God shines a light on your life and He blows His Spirit on you. That's the Word of God and the light of the truth of God. And what it does, it lifts us up. Somebody say amen. Get happy. Come on. You may not have too many years in this life to be happy about something. Amen. Be happy about Jesus. Amen. It picks us up. Just like that water coming out of the ocean, it picks us up. And all of a sudden now, look at where we are. Because that's what we wanted. God, get me out of this mess. God, pull me out of this mess. And what God does, He takes us and He sets us on high. And there we are. And boy, we're enjoying being up here on cloud. I don't know why there's not a cloud 10, but anyway, cloud 9. So we're up here on cloud 9. And there, boy, we're looking around. Now we're high, looking at everybody. And we're enjoying life. But then, here's what happens when we stay up here too long. We get full of pride. Here's what I'm telling you. Here's a thought that has run through your mind, and I know it. You got up here on cloud 9, and you were living right, and you said to yourself, I think I'll just stay up here until the Lord comes. I'll never be brought back down. You said it. You thought it. Okay? And God said, I can't use you. You're a cloud without water. Amen? Nobody has any use for a cloud without water, without rain. So what God does, He starts causing the tears to come down like rain, He says. And let me show you, where is it in my notes? Where is it? Turn to Exodus 16. Let me put it up on the screen. While you're turning there, let me show you what God's going to do. God takes you and He says to you, I can't use you, you're too proud. God has to take me. Listen to me. If we're not careful, here's what we'll do. We'll start measuring our lifestyle. Bye, guys. Love you. We'll start measuring our lifestyle and the way we live up against lost people who are down here. And we'll think that we're so good and we're better than everybody else. And let me tell you something. This lost world has had enough of church people looking down their nose at them. So here's what God does. He says, I can't use you. You're a cloud without rain. So the best thing that God does for us is He'll make us come back down. Now remember, this is water. In Exodus 16, you look at verse 13, it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around about the host. Dew. What is that? It's the water coming down. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And what that was, it was manna. God, watch this now. God literally sent His blessing down from heaven to the earth in the form of dew. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, I love this. Deuteronomy 32, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. When it rained today, you should thank God that it rained today. When it rained all last week, you should thank God it rained all last week. Amen? That's keeping your garden going. That's keeping your flowers healthy. That's keeping the grass going. We don't farm here, but I guarantee you there's enough places in Missouri where they're counting on that rain coming down. Why? Because they've got mouths to feed, not just in their house, but around the world. We are still the breadbasket of the world. We farm probably better than anybody else in this world, in this country. Our forefathers tore this ground up by hand. But here's my point. They need that rain. They need, listen to me now, they need you in a different form. As long as you're up here, it's enjoyable, it's nice, but you're not much good to anybody. All you do, watch this now, you know what you're good for? Blocking the sun from getting to those people. All you do is stand between you and them people and God. That's all you're doing. So what He'll do is He'll cause you to come down gently. And as you come down now, see, the hole that God dug us out of, there's now somebody down in that same hole. Best way to rescue them is to come down there and say, hey, I know how to get out of this. Let me help you out of here. I was in this exact same place 2 years ago, last year, 6 months ago. That's where I was. God will bring us down like showers and we'll come down. See, that doctrine is with us. We've got the wisdom of God. We've got the Word of God in our hearts and our minds. And when we come down to people on their level, we can shoot straight at them and say, here's how the Word of God saved me. Here's how the Word of God helped me. And what you're doing is that you're helping them grow. Paul plants. Some people are good at planting seed. Apollos watering. Apollos had a different ministry than Paul. I'm not a church planter, a church starter, a missionary, a street witness, evangelist. I'm not any of those. I guess my best thing is watering. Because I'm just going to give you just gentle showers to come down in your life, teach you things out of the Word of God, things that God has helped me with. And as long as I'm up here, God can't use me. God has to bring me down where everybody else is. Amen? By the way, that's where we were. And we ended up back down in the river, back down in the ocean again, right on the bottom. And what happens? Starts all over again. Heather, if you'll ingrain this in your mind, what you see in everybody here tonight, and there's 300 or 400 people online, same with them. you will go in cycles. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, the Bible says. Everything in God's creation goes in cycles. Everything. Day and night, life and death. Before people die, they pass down their genes to another generation. Before that generation dies, they pass that down to another generation. Adam, believe it or not, is still alive. He just looks like 7-point-some-odd billion people. Okay? But his DNA is still intact. It's still here. The Word of God is still intact. Amen? It's been going from generation to generation to generation. And here's how God showed this thing to me. Because I was ready to just bail out. God, I can't do this. I cannot live the perfect life. I can't do it. And God says, I can call you for that. And God began to deal with my heart and show me that thing. Okay? You will be brought back up. But just as sure as you're there, God will bring you back down. But He'll bring you down with wisdom. He means for you to be a blessing while you're down there again. Amen? That's how God works, upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the grass. Psalm 72:4. Let me show you that. The Bible says, He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear Thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. You see that? He's showing you cycles here. Sun and moon is a cycle. Sun and daylight, moon and night. Generations, that's a cycle. He shall come down. God shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In His days shall the righteous flourish. You know what that word flourish is? It's where we get the word flower. In His days shall the righteous flower out. I don't know what it was. It might have been our rose bush or something like that. When I walked out of the house this morning, the air was just dense enough. I was smelling probably the sweetest fragrance I think I've ever smelled. It was either Sweetie Pie's perfume still lingering there on the porch, or it was our flowers or something like that that we were growing out there. But it smelled amazing. That's how I want my life to be. I want it to smell good. I want it to look right. Okay? That has to come by those gentle showers. God's Word, God's doctrine coming down, causing us to flourish. An abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. The moon is always in a cycle. Proverbs 16:15, and the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Now, again, I want you to keep this in the context of what we're teaching it. Israel failed to grasp this. They never got a hold of it. And God said, I'm done with you. You can catch this. You can avoid the same mistakes. You can have knowledge that when you're back down, bobbing up and down in the sea, like Peter was, you can have knowledge that just because you're there again, that doesn't have to be the end of your life living for God. Because the devil is right there telling you, see, look at here, you're no better than you were. You're right back where you started. You know what you do? God, help me! Ship ahoy! The old ship of Zion comes. Amen. Gets us out. And it starts all over again. Now I can tell you, just like everything in nature, some people do it quickly. Some people a little bit too fast for my comfort. Amen. They're like this way 5 minutes from now and that way 10 minutes from now. Okay. Some people it's a little bit slower. But everybody's got one. Don't you ever forget that. Just because you're bobbing up and down the sea and don't think you're going to make it, that does not mean that God has failed you. Just remember, you've been there before. And God saved you that time. Why would He not do it again for you? Amen? Proverbs 25:14. This
you look at that verse. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Now let me tell you something. There's false gifts all throughout churches. Most churches in this country boast of false gifts. Oh, come to our church. We're going to have this Holy Spirit miracle healing power hour tonight. And the first 500 people that come will be healed. God has already told me that. That is a false gift. You know what they are? Clouds and wind without rain. Another one is, oh, if you could just be as holy and righteous as us. If you could all dress like us, look like us, live on the outside like we all appear to live, then you'll be holy and righteous like we are. And you know what they're doing? They're boasting of a false gift. They're trying to make you think that they don't have the problems and they never do anything wrong. I've been in church most of my life. 41 or 42 out of, maybe it's probably more than that, 44 out of 50 years of my life, I've been in church. And I'm telling you, church people are no different than anybody else, with the exception they're not going to perish down in that sea. And God's going to continue to use them. Bring them out. Use them. Bring them out. Use them. Bring them out again. That's what God does. But for us to stand here in front of all these people that are watching us online, who at some point, some of them are going to come and visit here to see what we're really like. And if we put up this air that we're all the perfect, God-fearing, holy, don't have any sins in our life, Christians, at some point, God's going to show them the truth. God's going to reveal it. Because there's people that are watching online right now that sat in a church that boasted of false gifts like that, and they saw how the people really were, and they said, I'll never go to another church if that's how it's going to be. And the reason why they like this church, I don't let us get that way. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. I don't think we ought to boast of a false gift. Let's be honest. The real gift, the only gift that we can boast of, God has had mercy on every one of us and will continue to have. Amen? Now, I got too much to say on this. I better quit. Let me do one thing, and I want to give you some place to study. All right? Turn to Hebrews 6 very quickly. Hebrews 6 very quickly. We're going to read it. I want you to study it, pray about it, meditate on it this week. That's your homework. And then you'll probably have to help me remember where I was. Hebrews 6, verse 4. This passage is argued over, fought over. Some just toss it out. Well, that's not what we believe. I believe it says exactly what it means. I think there's people that come in, tasted the heavenly gift of God, and bust hell wide open. Look at it. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, put Him to an open shame. I believe in apostasy. I believe in apostasy. I believe there are walking apostates on this earth right now. Usually, they are those who boasted of false gifts. Amen? So look at it. Now he follows that up with verse 7 and 8. They're included in that. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and assigned to cursing, whose end is to be burned. Herbs, things in our garden, wheat, tomato plant, zucchini, cucumbers, onions, radishes, all that corn, all that good stuff, that needs water coming down from heaven, doesn't it? Do you know the Bible says it rains on the just and who? How do thorn plants and briar plants live? They need rain just like everything else does. Okay? And what you're looking at is two types of church member. One type is the good ground church member that God... Well, I may talk about that too. That just hit me again today. That good ground, that full of nasty, vile junk. Table scraps, lawn clippings, old leaves, old dead fish and deer guts. Amen? Makes a good compost, doesn't it? Boy, the stuff will really grow in that, won't it? That's your life. God found good ground in you. And He's going to water you, and He's going to bring fruit forth in your life. But then there's those people who sit in the pews. They get the preaching. They got a Bible. They're so full of guile and deceit and falsehood that all they do is bear thorns and briars. And what does God do with thorns and briars? They were rejected, whose end is to be burned. And there will be people sitting in church, preachers, who will die and go to hell. Okay? That's what your Bible teaches. That's what it says. So you ponder that, you think about that. Because here's Israel. They all had the water and they were all baptized in the cloud. Where did they end up? Perished in the wilderness. Never made it. Okay? I don't want that for me and I don't want that for you. Let's stand to our feet.